Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my life, my love, my lady, is the sea. And Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 rode 70s gold like that to become the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. I'm Sean Collier, and I'm here with a wacky NASCAR pit crew worth of movie experts.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that one was easy. That didn't seem complicated. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Hi there.
And Camila Adams.
Hello.
And for the first time, which I guess it shouldn't, like, on statistics, we're going to get to a Marvel movie once every, I don't know, four episodes.
Maybe.
We have, okay, there's 22 Marvel movies, yeah. Something like that.
I think they're all number ones.
And
I'm sure. Probably all, except Incredible
maybe
Hulk.
Maybe not Incredible Hulk, yeah. And so there's 1,100 movies, so you do the math.
Yeah.
It's not insignificant. Let's put it that way.
This won't be the last one. Yeah. But an interesting first one to hit is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and also the most recent thing that we've tackled so far.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
It feels like I just saw this twice.
I'm sure I did. I recently watched this. Absolutely.
I'm the only reason I would ever watch this again is because it was assigned to me.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait
to get into that.
I want to get to that. And yes, Incredible Hulk was a number one.
What?
It was. I think that has to be everyone. Like, that's the only one that conceivably might not.
Doctor Strange?
Oh, that was number one.
Doctor Strange did fine.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't know any better. And plus, now they've got most of us by the balls. It's like, I need to see all of them. I don't care.
That's the only other one I didn't see in the theater.
Mm. Both Doctor Strange and Doctor Doolittle were number ones. It's an alphabetical list. I am really eager to find out Robin's hot takes. So let's go through. Yes, this went to number one right now. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 released May 5th, 2017, the 10th number one of the year. It was one of the biggest number one to number two gaps of all time in terms of how much the number one movie made and how much the number two movie made. Oh. Because Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 made $146.5 million just in its first weekend.
Holy moly.
And number two was the fourth weekend of The Fate of the Furious, which made $8.5 million that week. So there was more than $135 million between the number one and the number two movie.
And that was the fourth week for...
Fourth week of Fate of the Furious.
Fate of the Furious starring Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this movie is more recent than I remember it.
It is. The biggest number one to number two gap is last year, Avengers Infinity War debuted to $257.7 million in a weekend. Number two was A Quiet Place, which made $11 million. There was $250 million between the number one and number two movies.
Was that the first week for A Quiet Place?
No, Quiet Place was a couple weeks in. Because Quiet Place did well.
Yeah.
Guardians repeated at number one the following weekend before falling just barely to the truly awful Alien Covenant in its third weekend, which only beat it by about $2 million. Remained in the top 10 for a full 2 months. It went on to gross $389.8 million. That makes it the 34th biggest movie of all time.
Wow.
Just ahead of the final Harry Potter movie and just behind Frozen. It's the 23rd biggest opening weekend of all time. That is just a list of recent blockbuster movies. Every movie ahead of it came out in the last 7 years, except for The Dark Knight and Spider-Man 3. Due to inflation, rising ticket prices, and the event cinema thing, the top 145 movies on that chart are all from the 21st century.
Yeah.
So that's a new thing. Phantom Menace is 146th. And that's 1999. And yet, with all of this, Guardians of the Galaxy, just the fifth biggest movie of 2017. Behind Last Jedi, Beauty and the Beast, Wonder Woman, and somehow Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
That movie was great.
I like that.
That movie is awesome.
Okay, everybody calm down. Like
that movie was great.
It was fun, but it was you know, it was fine.
I guess I went in having very low expectations.
So did I. 100%. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'll watch this. I kind of have an all right, I'll watch this with almost anything The Rock is in.
Yeah.
I just find him a very good movie star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw Skyscraper in the theater.
Me
like,
too.
Well, I had the movie past the time.
Wait, right. No, not Skyscraper. I saw the one with the monkey.
Rampage.
Yeah.
Which I watched last weekend, and You Can't Handle the Truth, that was one of my favorite episodes, was you and Mike Rubino tearing into that movie.
Yeah, we had fun.
But even with that, maybe because of that, like the low expectations thing, I watched Rampage last weekend, and I found it delightful.
Sure, why not?
Like, and that is nowhere near, like, I think that Jumanji is, like, a good comedy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Rampage is like, this is really pleasant for what it sets out to be.
I wanted to throw stuff at the screen.
I think also it might be a movie you watch at home when you can like look at your phone and not pay attention to the boring parts.
Yes.
Well, that thing with The Rock being just watchable, that has been his entire career.
Exactly.
Like, did you ever see The Rundown or, A Walking Tall?
Like, it was sure did.
Just the same on a smaller scale. Right. Like, I'll watch this guy do whatever. It's great. But yeah, only the fifth biggest movie of 2017. That, by the way, was the greatest year in superhero movie history.
Mm.
Is 2017.
It was a good year.
7 of the top 20 were superhero movies.
So you're coming from a box office perspective, not a quality perspective?
Oh, no, I'm coming from a quality perspective.
So I know we have Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Amazing.
After Wonder Woman and Logan, my argument is done.
Ah,
yeah.
But then Guardians 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah.
Justice League.
Lego Batman.
Stop it.
And also Justice League.
I think I like Justice League more than normal people.
Oof.
Like, I don't like it, let's be clear. Yeah. But I certainly
more
didn't.
More than normal people.
I did not hate it the way that I think it probably deserves to be hated. Today has been a walk through my bad taste in movies. So
hey, that's why we're all here.
Good premise or good preface for me not liking Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Justice League, man, I hope we don't draw Justice League. Like,
same.
But it is not as bad as it might have been. Is the nicest thing you can say about Justice League.
I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's because Joss Whedon took over, and I don't.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon is gross now, but
yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I think it was all consensual, but he consensually cheated on his wife with a bunch of 22-year-olds.
Right.
Well.
Which, ew, like, he's not even an attractive, like, oh.
I know.
Whatever. That said, you know, the Joss Whedon thing having established, where do you think Guardians 2 falls among Marvel Cinematic Universe movies in terms of box office?
I would think it's probably in the middle somewhere.
I'm gonna say 7.
Yeah, with all of that, it's 8th. And might seventh, and might fall to 8th.
Nailed it,
right?
Might fall to 8th depending on how much more money Captain Marvel makes.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Black Panther is number 1, then the 3 Avengers movies.
That makes sense.
And what else do we have? The original Guardians of the Galaxy came out August of 2014. It was a surprise hit at the time since these characters were not really well known. That opened to $94.3 million and went on to gross $333 million. So Guardians 2 was the bigger movie.
I think Chris Pratt and his workout plan is what got a lot of people in those seats.
Can we talk about Chris Pratt's body for a second?
He sure. takes off his shirt early in this movie for he no does. Conceivable reason.
It is
reason.
The most gratuitous shirtlessness. Yeah. So Chris Pratt is clearly the worst Chris.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
It's like,
thank you.
And it's a far drop.
It's a big one. Yeah. It's to the point where it's like, Chris, the other one,
right.
That guy. I don't remember his last name
he's
half
like,
the time.
Of the Hemsworth brothers, he's the third Hemsworth in comparison to the Chris's.
Josh Hemsworth.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Okay. There is a third Hemsworth.
Right. I don't know how useful I think Chris Pine is.
Oh!
Oh,
oh
no!
Whoa!
Okay, I'll leave now.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Get off my property, sir.
Chris Pine is Vice Chris for sure, for sure. And there are times, and I love Chris Evans.
Yeah.
But there are times when I'm like, am I wrong? Is Chris Pine better?
Although, yes, you are wrong. Chris Pine is better.
Is he?
Have you seen Smoking Aces?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so that's when I fell in love with Chris Pine. And it's not even like he's a hot, you know, whatever.
He is really
he's
hot,
just,
though.
Yeah, but he's just like gross and grunty, and the character that he plays is amazing. And so
I'm going to like watch it later today.
Yeah.
So I have a thing with Chris Pine. We're so off the beaten path.
I know.
That's fine.
But I was going to ask if you had a favorite Chris.
Oh, it's Chris Evans, but it's like by a hair.
Hmm.
So Chris Pine, I used to call him attainable hot. Because, really? Like, his face is...
It's those damn eyes.
I mean, his eyes and the eyebrow situation is great. And I guess he has nice lips, too. But anyway, it's just something I said one day, and mm-hmm. then I, like, felt like I had to defend it over and over again. Anyway, very recently, I gave up on this. I was like, I was wrong. I was wrong. He is unattainably beautiful.
Can I get a definition? Because we've had this conversation yes. before. Literally. Does attainable hot mean... the average person can hope to become as hot as Chris Pine, or does it mean the average could bang Chris Pine?
Yeah, it's quite possible that I would be able to walk. I would walk into a bar mm-hmm. or wherever and talk to him, and then we could probably bang that night. Mm-hmm.
You could be his wife, and then people would be like, "Good for you." Yeah, exactly. Like they wouldn't be like, "I can't believe, like you're a very pretty woman," but you know what I mean. Like people would be like, "Yeah, okay,
yeah, sure, yeah." They look good together. Right. I wouldn't feel like...
Chris Hemsworth is the least attainably hot.
Chris Hemsworth, I would feel like, oh my God, like nobody knows why. I don't know why he chose me. Like, why? Like,
I don't want to be in the same room as him.
Yeah, I would just be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris Pratt's body is stupid, but then he does that, like, basically every time he has a movie role, he, like, loses 60 pounds or gains 60 pounds of muscle or whatever, mm-hmm. and then goes back to doughy Chris Pratt. And it's like, you're going to die from this.
Right.
This is very unhealthy, sir.
Him and Christian Bale are both going to drop at 52. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you hate him this much when you haven't seen Passengers. Like, I watched all
of
Passengers.
I hate him for doing Passengers. Yeah, although I don't hate J-Law, but...
Well, she's the least hateable person.
Yeah.
How can you hate her?
Some people do hate her.
I don't hate her, but I was the point in time I was like, okay, we get it. Like, can we just, to, like, put her away for a minute.
I saw a super montage of her complaining about being hungry. I landed on the side of that's charming.
Well, I can relate
super
to that.
Super montage? Why didn't I say super cut?
Super montage.
Anyway.
Otherwise known as a montage.
Yes.
By the way, the Dumbo movie starts with a montage, and it pissed me off so much. That's for later in the show. Anyway, and I already skipped past the 60-second recap to get to the numbers, so...
Who cares?
Robin, give me the timer.
Okay.
As I'm up this week to try and summarize this 137-minute convoluted movie in 60 seconds.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
The Guardians save a planet called the Sovereign, ruled by my girlfriend, Elizabeth Debicki, from a big space worm. Lovable trash panda Rocket robs the Sovereign on the way out the door. Then, over the next 2 hours, the following things happen with varying degrees of success. Quill meets his father, Ego, who turns out to be both a god and a planet who wants to destroy all life in the universe. Gamora and Nebula feud and eventually bond over their shared abuse at the hands of their father, Thanos. Rocket sort of admits his insecurities and becomes a team player. Yondu's men mutiny and face almost immediate comeuppance. Yondu saves the day as part of a redemption storyline. Drax and Mantis, the true heart of the film, bond. The Sovereign attempts to extract revenge unsuccessfully. Groot is Groot. Quill gets magic powers for a while. The Guardians save the universe. And Sylvester Stallone and Howard the Duck are in one scene for some reason. There are also a lot of genuine 70s jams.
Great, 50 seconds.
That's awesome.
All right.
And Michelle Yao.
And when she, Ving Rhames and Michelle Yao show up, I'm like, am I hallucinating?
Right.
Because they're literally in one shot each.
Yes.
I think that they're meant to play recognizable characters if you are a Guardians of the Galaxy comics dork.
Well, I don't know. The thing that I saw on the, in like the trivia was that James Gunn cast Michelle Yao as tribute to 1990s Hong Kong films, of which he is a fan.
Okay.
I don't know anything more about the canon of Guardians.
Well,
and all that
dovetails very nicely with my general problem with this movie.
Okay,
please.
Which is, this is an example. James Gunn is someone who made a splash, and people were like, the reason this movie is so successful is because he did it his way. So then there was no editorial oversight in the second one, and he just James Gunned himself all over the place. And people need a check. Right? People need someone to say, like, okay, you are a smart and creative person, but not every idea of yours is solid gold.
Right.
No one did that to this movie.
Was there something in particular about it that kind of...
There's a couple things. So one thing is, you know, there's that really great opening sequence where they're listening to Mr. Blue Sky while they fight the space worm.
Really great.
So great. And then they recreate that like 8 times. It's like, let's play another Song of the Awesome Mix Volume 2 and have another fight. and they become less and less interesting. Hmm. And then also they usually end the song before the fight is over. And it becomes less interesting. Even the worm thing.
Right.
The song ends so you can start caring about what's actually happening. And I'm like, no, this was effective because it was like the Zeppo where it's like the dramatic stuff's happening in the background and we're just watching a little tree dance.
Mm-hmm. I like this movie a lot, but I think the one problem I do have with it might dovetail. If we're looking for the thing that connects last episode's movie to this episode's movie,
daddy issues.
Yes.
And this movie has like one big plot too many. Unfortunately, it's the main plot. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about Quill's father situation.
I don't care about Quill. And I think that maybe I care about him even less because I'm mad at him about the events of the most recent Avengers. So, and because I don't like Chris Pratt, but I just don't care about him. He's a dick.
I mean, like, the Yondu stuff was kind of interesting, but if the movie is, it starts like it starts, Rocket pisses off the Sovereign, and then the Guardians have to spend the movie escaping from the Sovereign while Gamora and Nebula work their shit out. Mm-hmm. That's more than enough movie.
Oh, that's plenty. Like, it's like this ego thing is very egotistical.
Like,
it's a lot happening in it, and I feel like there was a lot. Even though I do enjoy the movie a lot, there was like so much squished in there.
Yeah.
And it took me a couple viewings to understand, okay, like, why is he? So essentially, he's just a deadbeat dad who comes back into his kid's life and says, hey, I need a kidney.
Pretty much.
Like, that's pretty much it. Well, yeah. It was like stretched out for much longer.
Also,
than
was there any follow-up on the invasive species in Missouri?
Well, when all of the big blob is growing all
that's
over the place.
That's coming from that. But that, why did it take 35 years or however long it is?
He needed Quill's power.
Oh, okay.
He needed another
person's
power.
I definitely lost interest in some of the minutia.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As well you should. Because for as entertaining and funny and charming as this movie is, the main thing that it's about is kind of dumb, especially when we're building to Thanos, who wants to kill half the universe.
Right.
Here's a quick diversion about a guy who wants to kill the whole universe that we have to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
They kind of figured out with most of the Marvel movies leading up to this, where Spider-Man Homecoming was a smaller story. Black Panther was about a one nation's power struggle. Right. Even Thor Ragnarok had that kind of cosmic scale, but it wasn't
outside of Earth.
It was outside of Earth. So this is like...
Well, this is outside of Earth. But I guess, there's the blob in Missouri.
He wants to blob every planet that he planted the thing on. So, why are we messing around with... And I loved watching Kurt Russell because it's Kurt Russell.
It is Kurt Russell. But also in Fate of the Furious, so...
Yeah.
He had a good weekend.
He had a big moment.
Wow.
In early 2017. So yeah, I don't know why that was this thing that we don't care about Star-Lord is the topic of the movie.
Yeah, and it doesn't really ever... It doesn't seem to have much effect before or after the movie. Like, it's just like, at least with some of the other ones, some of the other things, you kind of, we get little trickles of stuff here and there for the next movie or later on in the universe, but this one's just like,
because he imprints on Gamora. He's like, I'm going to put all of my emotional neediness issues on you. I refuse to understand why she would be with him.
There's no conceivable reason whatsoever.
It's like, is it because you are trapped on a spaceship?
It has to be it. But I feel like Gamora...
Do you choose Rocket in that?
But no, I mean, I would think Gamora would be like, would just come above. Is like, you know what? I don't have to have sex.
Cruise, when she's on, like, other... When they stop at places to do their various space crimes and heroism, pick some guys up there and maybe... Right. She finds one who comes, maybe he's a good cook, right?
Exactly.
And then there's another person
listener.
There's another person in the crew then.
Well, he's a really, like, confoundingly weak character at this point. Robin, remind us and the people what happens in Guardians 1. Robin, watch Guardians 1 for extra credit.
I started to, but I didn't get to it.
I was like, I'm going to fall asleep to this movie.
That was my plan.
I made it to, I fell asleep, I drifted off, and then I woke up again, and then I made it to the scene between Gamora and Quill when they play Fooled Around and Fell in Love, and it's very cute. I like that scene. Mm-hmm. But it still does not make them make sense. Anyway, what happens in that movie is Thanos has told Ronan the Accuser to go get the Power Stone or the Power Gem or whatever they call it. The Guardians come together because they're all committing the same crime to get the thing because it's worth 6 billion units. And then they realize that, like, it has cosmic power and is going to destroy the universe. And so they band together and prevent him from getting it.
Okay.
Is the short version of what happens. And the whole banding together business is so much more interesting. Like, people talk about, like, oh, origin stories are bad or boring, right?
No.
But that movie is more successful because so much of the fun of that movie is, like, getting the gang together.
Right. I know. They're overcoming their things. Like, Drax
their
immediately wants
yeah.
to kill Gamora mm-hmm. because she's Thanos' daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds out, she's like, you know, I want to kill him just as much as you do.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's, it does make for a much more interesting plot movie. But this one is funny.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So I wanted to go in with an open mind. And so I mostly took notes about the things that I liked.
Okay.
Good.
The storyline for Yondu.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we find out that he's been exiled
mm-hmm.
from his peoples.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not sure that was necessary just to tell us that the reason why he didn't give Quill to his dad was because he found out what he was doing to the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. That just, it seemed like again, like that was probably like a chunk that could have been just kept out.
Because
even
they
though
wanted
I enjoyed
that
Tommy
thing.
Flanagan.
Right.
For no damn good reason.
Right.
What a waste.
We just talked about Tommy
I
Flanagan.
I know.
It's like the secret. We put it out into the podcast and it comes into our next movie. So I think that the whole backstory for Yondu is so that you care when his heroic sacrifice happens.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
And I don't care. I don't care.
It was nice. It was nice that most of the Yondu stuff was nicely reflected through Rocket.
Hmm.
Like, I don't individually care about Yondu, other than that Michael Rooker's a good actor and I enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was Marvel's comedy year. Again, the three Marvel movies were Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Guardians 2.
Yeah.
This was their, we're going to hit you pretty heavy next year, so let's have some fun.
Right.
And it's a good comedy. Like, I still think the Groot fetching things bit is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that warms my heart so much.
No, look, baby Groot is so great. And also the credit scene with teenager Groot is amazing.
Yes.
So one thing I realized in watching these two movies, or one and a half of these movies again, is how good Bradley Cooper is as Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh, yeah.
I think that I like 100% took it for granted because, like, you don't see him,
mm-hmm.
you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And, like, the voice is so not recognizable
right.
as his voice.
Right.
But I was, like, sitting there and I was thinking about it. I'm like, has Bradley Cooper been this charming and engaging in anything else? 4-time Academy Award nominee, Bradley Cooper. His best role.
4-time?
I know.
Silver Linings Playbook.
American Sniper, American Hustle, and A Star is Born.
I forgot he was in American Hustle.
Has he been this charming in anything? Keep talking and I'm going to try to find
I don't think that he has
I think
been
honestly
charming.
The only thing would be, I mean, I loved him in Alias, but he's not really like, he's kind of a dork in that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I never watched that.
He does have the best shot of all of Alias is his face reacting to something.
I don't know if he's, I think I kind of found him charming in Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, so did I. I love that movie, has a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Because getting really real here, I'm bipolar and I saw that movie before I was diagnosed. And I remember as Colin and I were driving home, he was like, that's a lot like you.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah.
Huh.
And then when I was diagnosed, I was like, yeah, you know, when I saw Silver Linings Playbook, I recognized myself in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that movie has a special place in my heart. And
wow.
Yeah, he was charming in that.
Yeah. I hated that movie, but now I don't feel like saying that out loud. Too late. I mean,
it's okay. You can hate it.
I think a lot of people are like, "That's an insensitive portrayal of
mental illness." That's
and
exactly
I'm like,
it.
No, I don't think it is.
It's just like actually, it helped me quite a bit.
I mean, I thought it was two acts of a sensitive portrayal of mental illness, and then we cured our crazy with a dance competition.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that sensitive?
No.
Okay.
But I don't know if, I think that maybe I didn't read it as cured, but I can see why you would say that. I more read it as this is a better time.
Right. Yeah. He's,
right.
He's having a good moment.
Right.
He's found something to make him happy.
Jennifer Lawrence was great in it.
Yeah.
I, the ending, and it, like, I will say, not you specifically, but like she reminded me of real people I know so much.
Yeah. I saw myself in Bradley Cooper's character.
I see. No, he hasn't been this charming in anything else. Like I'm trying to find something, and I'm like, Limitless was okay.
He usually just plays a dick. You know?
Yeah. Right.
That's just kind of his thing.
But this is a very nice dick.
Yes. Which
a dick with a heart of gold. And raccoon and machine parts.
I love Angry Puppy. I love the Drax. And I love Drax. Yes. Like,
so I, again.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry. I think Drax is so funny. I love the whole I take everything literally thing. Like, I loved the Amelia Bedelia books as a kid. Like, that is a joke that's never not funny to me. I don't like the whole Drax constantly insults
Mantis.
Right.
Do you think that...
I think it's dumb.
It is.
And I think it's kind of gross that it's like, she's like, I really like you as much as you keep insulting me. Like, this whole, like, her as a victim of abuse is, I think it's played, her being a victim of abuse being played for laughs bothers me.
I agree with that. I think that it is so well established that Drax is mean to everyone and only likes himself, but secretly loves everyone that just reads to me as him warming up to her and pays off when he cares about her so much at the end of the movie.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I agree that, you know, he does warm up to her. And, you know, yeah, we're seeing how Drax works and how he feels for his friends and all that stuff. And I also just kind of took it as like, okay, look at Drax. Like whatever he was, whatever he was used to, whatever his planet, whatever his people look like his ideal of beauty is something totally different from what everybody else's is. Yeah. It's like obvious to us, like clearly she's not hideous.
Right.
But, you know, then again, like she does it. It is kind of, it is a delicate situation because she's was brought up by Ego by herself.
Right.
She doesn't know anything about social cues or other people or anything like that. So, but it's also, she's not really bothered by it, and there is a moment she's like, you know what, I don't like you like that, I don't even think of you that way, so stop, I'm trying to tell you something important,
right
I need you to listen to me. So I don't know, I don't see her necessarily as a victim, but I get what you're saying.
I love her character, and I love, I can't remember the actress's name, I know
Palm,
it's something funny,
her first name is Palm and her last name is like Clementive.
Really?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think she is, her performance is so good.
Yeah,
like,
she's fantastic.
She is so charming. I'm saying I don't like it being played for laughs. They are effective laughs, though.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where I'm like, I'm laughing at this and I don't like that I am.
I feel uncomfortable about it.
I just want to hear Drax laugh at things all day long.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It's like, oh, you must be so embarrassed.
I love that scene.
That
scene's so
good.
Great. Oh, another thing that I put in my notes that I truly love is, so Elizabeth Debicki is great in this.
She's really, really great.
I mean, she's,
is that Nebula?
No, that's
the Gold
Lady. The Gold Lady. Yeah. I was going to say, are you still attracted to her when she's C-3PO-ish?
Oh, absolutely.
I think probably more so.
Particularly in the post-credit scene where she lets her hair down but is still gold. That's fantastic.
So the part where she's going to some planet and they have her carpet, rolling out the carpet so she can walk on the carpet. Oh my gosh, I love that bit so much. And it's such a like cute little detail for the character and the carpet not rolling out. Oh, it's just a perfect scene.
Here's jokes with a very, very small audience. A couple of weeks ago, me and a couple of our nerdier friends were at a Monday Night Raw taping.
Mm-hmm.
And Batista, a.k.a. Dave Batista, a.k.a. Drax, came out to confront Triple H. And our friend Zach Funk leaned over and said, careful, Triple H, if you can't see him, it's because he stopped moving entirely and turned invisible.
That's great.
It's so great.
I had no idea those guys were still in the mix. Oh.
What's that?
I would have thought that they had both retired a decade ago.
Triple H will never retire because he runs the company now.
Oh,
Yeah, he's not the CFO, but he's like VP of talent and live shows or something. Because he married into the family.
Gotcha.
And Batista was last around before Guardians 1 came out, and it was not well received. because he wasn't a big deal yet, but kind of came back as like, I'm a big deal now, but we, nobody knew, you know, like Guardians of the what?
Mainstream people like me.
Right.
And yeah. So right now he's back for like his final run.
Okay.
And I will be attending WrestleMania in New Jersey next week for what I assume is Dave Bautista's. It is.
Wow. Yeah.
Where in
New Jersey? Atlantic City?
No, at MetLife Stadium, the Giants Jet Stadium. Mm. Yeah. He is a pretty good wrestler. He is a better actor than he is a wrestler.
Okay.
And I would go so far to say that he is now the second best wrestler turned actor.
After The Rock?
After The Rock.
Really? What about the other guy, Cena?
Oh, I like him too. He's
very
funny. I've
seen him on Psych. Yeah.
He's very funny.
He's actually really good.
But I would say he's number two after The Rock.
Gotcha.
And John Cena is or Dave Bautista is?
John Cena. I think he's very funny.
He's very, very funny. I feel like Dave Bautista has a little bit more range.
Probably. I also think that I haven't seen any John Cena vehicles. I've only seen him in supporting roles.
Did you see Blockers?
Yes.
That was...
Just that, I think of that as like an ensemble piece.
Yeah, I guess.
He's so funny.
That's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I like that movie a lot.
Big ceiling. Rowdy Piper's in the mix somewhere. just for They Live.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, not a good actor.
Nope.
Sorry, not at all. I want to get to two things, and I forget what one of them is. Oh, yeah, and then we can move on, because I'm sure we all have a lot for the You Can't Handle the Truth segment. One, the James Gunn controversy, ?
What is that? I'm not familiar.
So he got fired. You should probably summarize this, because I don't know the details.
At some point, Marvel and Disney fired James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 as a result of a deliberate, like, bad faith campaign. It was one of these things where James Gunn talks shit on Trump all the time on Twitter. So Trumpies found, like, 10-year-old bad taste tweets.
Oh, my.
Never... racial, never misogynistic, just like bad jokes. They were like
I think there was pedophile
jokes.
Joke, which was the breaking point.
But straight up, like, you're in your 20s and you're making a dumb joke.
I don't think he was in his 20s.
Right.
He's old.
Right.
He's old and he dresses like he's 23.
And Disney and Marvel fired him. And immediately the backlash moved to Disney, because they were saying this, you're giving in to people who are trying to tear people down who are criticizing Trump. Mm-hmm. This does not act, these tweets from 10 years ago don't actually have any bearing on anything. And the Guardians cast signed,
especially Bautista,
an open letter to Disney, like, we're contractually bound, but we want everyone in the world to know we don't want to do any more without him.
Oh, wow.
And that went on for about a year and a half, and now they hired him back.
The day before we drew this movie, I actually had a conversation about this after seeing Captain Marvel, and I was like, I don't really think they should have hired him back. The piece where it's like, oh, this is from bad faith actors, like, I don't care about that part. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people disagree, but like, for example, Al Franken, people were trying to get him out of the Senate for partisan reasons. They didn't care that he was assaulting people, but it still matters that he was assaulting people. Mm-hmm. Good riddance, mm-hmm. right? As heartbreaking as that was, like, get out of there. Then it's like, I don't personally care about old tweets as much as some people do, but I don't think it is wrong to say, like, they're fucking Disney, right? Like, I don't think it's wrong for them to be like, this does not reflect our values.
Exactly.
The same thing happened.
And he didn't apologize.
Okay. Well, yeah, he should
have
apologized.
It's like a Kevin Hart thing. It's like, if you do a sincere apology in this situation, then fine. All he did was whine about how he was being persecuted.
Mm. Yeah, that doesn't help.
No.
The two counter arguments I have are, one, the same thing happened to Dan Harmon.
I also think Dan Harmon's gross.
I mean, I like Dan Harmon as a flawed figure. But like, someone found a Channel 101 video, that cartoon that he made 15 years ago, where someone was fucking a baby doll and was like, see, no. And Cartoon Network went, this doesn't reflect our values. This is not content that we would ever promote or approve of at all. Here is Dan Harmon's apology, and now we're going to move on. And I was like, yep, that's what happens.
Okay, but he sexually harassed people in the community writers' room, so he is trash, and I don't want anything to do with him. And that's the other thing, is that I think I already didn't like James Gunn for mm-hmm. much less fair reasons. I read some Hollywood gossip that he dumped Jenna Fischer because she was more famous than him, and he didn't like that.
Oh my God.
That both of those points, one about Dan Harmon and the second about maybe James Gunn is trash, are fair. My argument is when it's something you did a decade or more ago, then I think that the Cartoon Network reaction is the appropriate one. This is bullshit. This is wrong. We've made our guy apologize. He's apologizing. He means it. No, we're not going to fire him because.
Okay.
Yeah. And the second thing being, I think that this is the difference between the bad faith actor campaigns. Again, not talking about assault. I mean, I think there's a big gap between assault and these jokes.
It's an absurdly wide gap.
Right. I think that the thing that the bad faith actors ignore is you can tell the difference between a tasteless joke and an offensive comment.
Right.
And I don't know exactly what the James Gunn tweets were. But if it's a tasteless joke, I don't think you fire anybody.
Also, everybody was making tasteless jokes. Like, we just talked about how there was so much stuff, like, in...
Talladega Nights.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Right.
I was going to say not Anchorman.
Not Anchorman. It's also fair.
Right. It was the aughts. Everybody was garbage.
Right.
We've been garbage for years. Like, it's, you know, just... It's only become recent that people are starting to just now think about, okay, how... Words mean things.
Right.
Like, it's basically. True.
Right.
And I'm sure that I have garbage tweets from 10 years ago.
Sure.
I probably have garbage tweets from 10 months ago.
Yeah.
But I think that part of me feeling kind of eh about him being rehired is that it seems like they didn't change their mind about what was the principled stance. They were like, oh, we might lose money on this.
Right.
So
well, that's
not his
Disney
fault. That's
milieu.
Disney's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an ugly situation, I think. Hiring him back is fine. Not hiring him back also would have been fine.
Right. Listen, I am less likely to see Volume 3 because he is back, but I'm probably the only person in America who feels that way, except for maybe Jenna Fisher. I don't know. Maybe they're still friends.
I think I remember her being nice about him on
Probably
in public.
WTF. Yeah.
Behind closed doors, she's like, fuck that dude.
Do you think there's a chance you will not watch Volume 3?
No, I will watch it.
Right.
I won't go see it.
Okay.
I mean, like, I you know, if it's like, I don't have anything to do, I might go see it. But I'm not.
You don't want to give your dollars.
Well, I have the AMC Movie Pass thing, so it's not really my dollars. It's more like my 3 hours is how long it will be.
Yeah.
And also, I guess it's also going to, like, depend on where we are in, the overarching MCU storyline. And if I'm invested for outside reasons.
That's the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Like, they have us by the balls,
right.
You said.
That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. It was very interesting watching this back now to notice that they teased post-endgame content in the post-credit scenes. Because they set up Sylvester Stallone's Ravager's crew is going to do things.
Okay.
And they set up that Aisha invented the What's-It machine.
Adam,
which I guess is a big comic storyline
Adam
thing.
Warlock is who he is.
Yeah.
I had to look
it
up.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
And is that about all we've seen of them setting something up that is going to happen after Endgame? And they did it 2 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, so I was going to mention, like, yeah, would you consider this necessary viewing in the MCU? Like,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of Infinity War has to do with Nebula and Gamora.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other. I don't want to. I feel like I'm being such a negative Nancy in this episode. But I also think that the Gamora and Nebula relationship is a little surface level.
Really?
Oh, I love it.
So I really. I feel the opposite about daddy issue stories as I do about sibling rivalry stories.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically the I'm not as good a daughter as you thing. Because I have issues with my older sister being perfect. I love you, Becky. And
I didn't know you had a sister.
Me either.
Okay. She's great. She's amazing. I will never live up to her example.
No, for some reason, I assumed you were an only child.
Oh. Like, oh.
I also assumed that.
What?
Yes.
I've also got a little brother named John.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a middle child.
Yeah. That makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway,
I have very distinct visions of your childhood, which involve you and no other children watching movies with your parents.
Well, that is somewhat accurate. Because my sister was like, I'm going to go study. And my brother was like, I'm going to play outside.
Gotcha.
And I was like, I would love to never see the sun and watch every movie ever made.
Now it makes more sense.
All right. There it is.
Yeah.
So you just have a, you have a problem with the sibling rivalry.
I just feel like it is not that carefully considered or nuanced. And maybe I'm holding it up against too many, like, really good stories like that. Like,
well, you got to think this is a little bit different than, you know, my parents gave her more attention. This is he made us fight.
Yeah.
Every time I lost, he took a piece of me and replaced it with machinery.
Right.
That's going to leave.
I do really like when she's like, you always won.
Right.
Right. Like, you didn't have to always win.
You know, there was a way out of this.
Yes. I really like that scene. So I'm being too harsh.
Well,
so, yeah, I do.
But it
I
seems like
their...
they put so much more energy in the boring daddy issues. And then they're like,
they
also have this other relationship, which I find so much more compelling.
Right.
And
but there's like daddy issues running amok in like the entire MCU, basically.
Yeah.
And DC, too.
Well,
like,
Iron Man. This is a lot of criticism for a movie I'm going to give the highest score I've given yet. But how much did Batman and Superman get rightfully dragged for making a pivotal point in that movie? But my mom, and then Chris, the Star-Lord was ready to go evil until it turned out that his mom died unnecessarily. And I was like, I don't know.
Was he fully, like, do you think that he was, I didn't read it that he was.
I wouldn't say ready to go evil, but I would say definitely ready to kick this whole humanity thing to the curb.
Yeah, I felt like he had just kind of taken more control over him because, you know, there's a tear that drops and he's like, you know, in his face, it looks like he is being controlled. And
okay,
that he
that's
does
interesting.
It,
I forgot
that he
about
is
the
like,
tear.
You know, he's been grasped upon it. Like, he's going to use him as a battery.
Right.
And so, and it to me, I read it as when he talks about killing his mom, basically, that's what pushed him. That's what like snapped him back into
his emotions are too powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And his human emotions.
Right.
But the point
humanity is, saved him.
It wasn't a reference to his friends that did that.
Right.
He was like, my friends, and Ego was like, yeah, forget about them. And he was like, all right, fine. And so it's like, oh, but my mom. Like, I didn't like that. I'm taking 2 points off the score. No, I'm not.
Me personally. Like, I love my friends, but if somebody were to say some weird shit about my mom, like, I have, like, literally, I have fought people for talking shit about my mom.
Yes.
When I was, like, in 8th grade, I stabbed a kid with a protractor.
What?
Yes. Just because he said some slick shit about my mom. So.
Ooh, that's wonderful.
On that little, a nice little tag. To our Guardians conversation. It's time for X-Rated. Let's get our ratings for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Camila.
86.
86. That is the new highest score given to a movie yet on the number one movie in America. Robin.
49.
Wow.
49.
Yeah.
And I guess you prefaced it with the fact that you will not watch this again.
Right.
Ever. Unless assigned to you.
I am giving it an 80. That is also my highest score. 1 point higher than Talladega Nights, which felt right. This is 1% better than Talladega Nights. Comes to an overall score of 71 2/3.
I'm clearly an outlier there.
Which makes it by less than a 0.1%. Not our best movie yet.
Oh, wow.
Guardians of the Galaxy lands at 71.67. Kiss the Girls is 71.75. Holding strong at number one until we see what happens next week.
Do you guys have a favorite MCU film?
I would say it's really neck and neck between Winter Soldier and Black Panther.
Okay.
I've reviewed most of them, and the only one I gave a 10 was Black Panther.
Wow.
There's most of them are 9s, but the only one where I was like, no, this is actually a perfect movie is Black Panther.
Mine is Black Panther also, and I was going to say, other than Black Panther, because I just kind of assumed that was going to be.
That's a more interesting question.
But it's definitely Winter Soldier.
Okay.
For me.
I liked Civil War a lot.
Me too.
I like Iron Man a lot.
Me too.
I think it really Iron Man usually lands in my top 5 to 10 superhero movies just because it established the biggest franchise in the history of cinema really, really well.
Right.
So
I think Ragnarok was probably mine.
I really, really love Ragnarok. Good. And I also really love Spider-Man Homecoming. And mm-hmm. I also weirdly love Iron Man 3, which most people
I
hate.
Love it.
I really that, like
that
it.
Little, that relationship yeah. with the kids, yes. like, that's what really brings it for me.
Yes. I don't know. And I just, another problematic person who I do like is Shane Black. So, yeah. I like his deal.
We could, I don't want to get too, we've already talked a long time. Like, for You Can't Handle the Truth, is it just, Us is great, the
yes,
end.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it twice.
I've seen it twice.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it again tonight.
Great. Us is fantastic. I don't like scary movies. I decided I was going to tough it out, and I was so scared. I, like, bruised my husband's hand, mm-hmm. but I'm glad I saw it anyway.
The home invasion, the introduction of the Reds of the Tethered, I almost started crying.
It's really I was so
upset, and that's probably one of the third. I've never had a horror movie has never made me cry. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like this is more like a psychological horror.
Yeah.
But there were like only two other movies that have made me cry, not from sadness, but from like, my soul is dirty. Like,
what are those?
8mm.
Oh.
And Requiem for a Dream.
Okay.
Yeah. I cried for 2 hours after Requiem.
I watched Requiem for a Dream with a girl I was trying to date. Like. Like, she had seen it and I hadn't. And, like, we got, like, somehow it came up and I was like, oh, I haven't seen it. I'd love to. And she's like, oh, I have a copy. So, like it's the second or third time we're hanging out and it's to watch Requiem for a Dream. And somehow still I was like, I'm just going to completely disconnect and ask her out at the end of the night anyway. Uh-huh. And then she was like, oh, I'm gay. And I was like, okay, this. She remains one of my good friends.
After that movie, I had like this, I couldn't watch Keith David for like a really, 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 really long time. And then I ended up getting a gig photographing him last year.
Oh, that's awesome.
In concert. Yeah. And I met him afterwards. Was like, and it was a very big moment. I called my husband, mm-hmm. like, all right, I overcame it. I met him. He's a totally nice guy. Everything's fine. Yeah. I'm
okay. Have you seen They Live? To circle back to that?
I did not.
You should definitely see that. Fantastic. It'll make you love him over again. Yeah.
I think you have to see Us more than once. Because when I went for the second time, there is the amount of, both in the writing and in the production, the details in this are insane.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle it.
The best, like, this is both cute and emblematic of what's going on in every scene in the movie. So there's the closet where the two little boys meet, gets the red boy stuck in there. We see that closet earlier on, and there's a bunch of games on the shelf, and there's a prominent game with the title Monster Trap.
Oh, my.
And that is every... There's a throwaway moment that you would hardly even notice where in the background of the scene, Dad is talking to the kids and he's like, knock, knock, who's there? You.
Oh.
And there's a punchline. It's like, you who? You who opened the door. And like, oh, that's all over the entire script.
Don't
yeah.
like it.
Yeah, it's I love so the fact, good. Like the opening scene where she's watching TV and you see the movies that are there. You know,
which we talked about how this came out a week after what was the
Climax, which did the exact same thing.
Which
we talked about on this podcast.
The awards I know I will give up. The joke going in was like, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, my ballot for next year is Us for every category.
Bring it on down.
The ones I know I will vote for is no one will be better than Lupita was in this movie.
No. It's impossible.
It's Charlize and Monster level good, I truly think.
Yeah.
And score. I'm willingly freaking myself out by listening to the score just during the day.
I was listening to it on the way here.
It's so good.
Is it going to become not eligible because it incorporates existing music?
The score?
Yeah. Huh.
That's what happened to that happened to Arrival based on like a sample.
Really?
So right. Maybe it will.
It probably will. Yeah. Because that mixes everything though.
I know. It's so cool. It is so cool.
Well, and the one they do during the fight at the end.
Oh my God, the choreography of that scene. Oh,
it reminded me of the end of Annihilation.
I don't think I saw that.
You should see it. It's amazing.
It's very, very good. Dumbo was not good.
Surprise.
That's the other.
Surprise. I don't want to see Colin Farrell in a wholesome way. I like Macaulay drunk and dirty and cursing and just nasty.
I thought he was so good in Widows as someone who was not wholesome, but is less gross than he normally plays. Like, it was he cleans up nice.
Exactly. It's like, you shower on a regular basis.
Disney can't figure out their own damn formula at this point, because Beauty and the Beast was real good and Cinderella was pretty good, and then most of the time it's like, yeah, I guess this is watchable when they do a remake.
Was it a Nutcracker Disney?
I think so. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
No one on earth saw it.
The trailer was beautiful, but I had no intention of ever watching this movie.
I kept almost seeing it because I thought it might get like production design or something nominations, and kept being like, I don't want to.
That's one of those things where I collect Funko Pops, right? And like, that's one of those things where there's just slowly growing mountains of Funko Pops for movies that they thought would hit but didn't.
Oh.
Like, you can go to Barnes & Noble and get, like, Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, God.
And Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets Funko Pops, like, forever.
That movie was pretty good.
I liked Valerian.
Yeah.
There's this thing happening in my life where Mary Beth, my girlfriend, is actually, like, the only person in America who's obsessed with Luc Besson. Like, she loves Luc Besson movies. And
I love The Professional.
And does not.
I love The Fifth Element also.
She doesn't know that he got Me Too'd hard, and I'm just hoping she never finds out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Neither. Oh, no.
Yeah, pretty bad. And
God, it's everyone. And they're all bad.
And Mary Beth is one who, like.
Does she listen to this show?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
She does not. And she, when someone gets Me Too'd, she can't, you know, still engage.
Oh,
like, she has to check out.
That's,
and she's obsessed with Luc Besson movies. I'm like, just don't Google them. Just,
I know it.
Just, I hope she doesn't find
horrible.
Out. What's left to do? I guess.
We gotta get the new movie.
I get, we
it's
got.
Time for the most exciting part of every
Yay!
Episode.
This is just.
I wonder
this show,
exciting
this show is
listeners.
An hour preceding a random number
that's
generator.
That's all it is. That's what I'm very excited for. This
is
moment.
That exciting though for our listeners? Listeners, let us know.
Let us know. We've appreciated getting some nice feedback on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think people are having a good time.
We're at number one movie pod. One is a digit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Number, yes, that is correct. The number is 476. 476. Of course, this is continually updated, so us is in here now. 476. So someone better veto this because I already used mine. I'm not doing. Well, the show is going to end right now if someone doesn't veto this.
What is it?
I'm not watching The Hobbit: The Desolation of Smaug again.
Veto.
Oh, thank you.
I want nothing to do with that. I will happily.
That's it.
Use my veto for that.
That is better than the first Hobbit, and I never bothered with the third.
Sweet.
But I'm glad that you have vetoed it. Thank you for your service.
No problem. Hopefully the next one's not a Madea.
You know, I almost.
There's only one odd there.
I think there are two.
Oh, really?
I think it's a Halloween one. The Halloween one and another one.
What's that?
There's two Madea movies on there.
I think there are. At least two. There might be. Because, like, the big one was Diary of a Mad Black Woman. I know that was a number one.
Yeah.
Anyway, I almost went, because Rohouse did a Lord of the Rings week, and they were like, we have the guy who cut The Hobbit down into one movie, and we have that fan edit. And I was like, that'd be interesting. I want to
totally watch that.
It was still 5 hours long.
Never mind.
And I was like, no. You could have wrapped this up in an hour 45.
Right. I mean, I watched that animated movie a lot as a child.
Yeah.
The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Scared the piss out of me.
It really scared me too, and I kept watching it trying to be brave enough for it.
If it were the first one, if it had come up on the first one, I wouldn't have begged anybody to veto it, because you can kind of at least get through the first chapter in a thing.
Mm.
But I'm not going to jump into the second.
I do think the second one is better than the first one.
That might be true. Okay. Is it a Benedict Cumber Dragon?
Yeah.
Camila, thank you.
Come on her snatch.
Oh,
okay.
I love that. I'm so immature.
Wow, I am 15.
Listen, that's why we have the explicit tag on iTunes, everybody. Apple Podcasts, whatever. Camila Adams has used her veto for calendar year 2019. And remember, I don't know how it could get worse, but remember, this is what we established. Whatever comes next, we have to take.
Yep.
We're no more the chain that led to Elysium. The new number is 981.
Okay.
981. And that is, please God, The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Is that like a military movie?
It's a Jack Ryan movie.
Really?
Okay.
2002.
With Ben Affleck as Jack Ray.
Ben Morgan Affliction.
Oh, good. I'm so excited that we get to hear about you hating it. I have extremely mixed feelings about Ben Affleck.
2002 with Ben Affleck and Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman making a second appearance.
This was the big, is it too soon after 9/11 terrorism?
Oh, okay. All right.
2 hours. All right.
Yeah. It could be longer. Liev Schreiber. I like him.
Oh, I enjoy Liev.
Mm-hmm.
James Cromwell. Okay.
It's got a cast.
All right.
All right. The Sum of All Fears. That is so much. Like, if we had landed on, if we had landed on that first, I would have been like, but after Hobbit 2, like, great. Sure, The Sum of All Fears.
I just always like when it's a movie I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
No, that's been a couple of them. We've done a couple things. So, before we get out of here, what was the number one song in America May 5th, 2017?
Is it Kendrick Lamar, DNA?
You're half right.
What was the other one?
It was a 1 week number one from the same album.
Damn it. Damn.
Humble.
Humble.
I would not have guessed that that went to number one.
I had to revise this because...
Was this the year that Drake was at the top of the chart for, like, the whole year?
This was the year that Despacito was for, like, 3.5 months. More than that.
Great.
What is that?
That's, oh, is that a Drake song? Mixed into an existing Latin pop hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had to change it because this was after they started changing the day on which they declare what the number one song is.
Oh.
Like, it was like I think it was Tuesday forever, and then eventually it switched to Saturday.
Really?
Like, fairly recently.
Because, like, Tuesday is, like, release day for everything, right?
No, that changed, too. Like, albums come out Fridays now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because of Beyonce.
I'm so old.
So I was like, okay, so for something this new, do I go with... the thing that was number one the day the movie came out, or do I go with the thing that was number one on Monday when the movie was announced as number one? Mm. And so I was like, and then I saw, that means, do I want to say it was Ed Sheeran's Shape of You or Kendrick? Okay, it's Kendrick. Never mind. That's the policy now.
It's going to be the better song.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be whichever one I know.
None of us are going to come at you with, like, charts and shit. Right. Like, no, you are absolutely wrong, sir, because at 5:30 p.m. on the...
Who likes Ed Sheeran, by the way?
Apparently a lot of people.
What is the point of him?
I don't understand. I was really pissed when he showed up in Game of Thrones for no reason whatsoever.
There's two genres that I do not understand at all. One of them is sad, non-American white guy singing slowly, like Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And the other is that, like, I'm not country, but I'm kind of a douchebag, like the Mumford and Sons thing.
Oh.
I don't understand either of those genres at all.
I have no, I know nothing about them. Do the Lumineers fall into that category?
I would
lump the Lumineers with Mumford and Sons, but I feel like they don't have that douche vibe.
No, they're not. They're nice, but I still don't understand what their music is or why.
Okay.
It all kind of sounds the same to me. The Lumineers. I saw them. They opened for U2, and
okay,
I didn't mind them, but it was like, it's a really long song.
Yeah, that's how I feel about most of that genre. Like, I'm okay with this.
Yeah,
I don't want to listen to it.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it annoys me because I don't understand it.
As most things should.
That's
damn it all to hell.
That's not what this podcast is about. Let's go watch The Sum of All Fears. Bye.
Yay.